rotating so that they are always in the same place over the Earth. And that gives them a bird's eye view of what's happening down here.
The satellite thundered toward orbit aboard an Atlas V rocket. NASA, or I should say NCAA President Mark Emmert, is hopeful the scandal roiling college basketball will lead to major rules changes, but schools paying players is likely a non-starter. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is a repeat broadcast of the Bean Found Show.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
Good morning. Welcome to the Being Found Show. We're your guide to being found by more buying customers. And we're really, really good looking. We're funny. I don't know. All those cliches of good looking people on radio.
Yeah, I feel that being on radio is really sort of tapping my fame potential.
Yeah. I've got some things to say about that on overall potential. But yeah, okay, I agree.
I don't want
it. No, I'm just talking. I was thinking about my potential. Oh, like my potential is like, it's. I'm about ready to cry from you, what you just said. Okay, so I'm Cloudwise Joe, the guy Chauncey just made cry, and then my co-host Chauncey Hallward is here with us, and we're here to make sure that you're being found by more buying customers. Here's the deal: if you're not being found, who is? You can check us out at beingfound.com. Or go to Facebook. It's the Being Found Help Center. And let's get into it, Chauncey. There's a lot going on, as usual. It's crazy, all the changes and everything that's happening. Before we get going on being found and what's going on in the world of search, local search and all that stuff, I did want to update our audience on Project Hometown. So Project Hometown is the project we're helping or taking part in, which is to help all local businesses in Shasta County, 17,000 of them, all get a website online, but not just a regular website, to get a website the way their customers want to shop. So if you have products or services, get you a e-commerce site online. If an e-commerce site isn't right for you, then just a straight old service website. There's a lot going on to do this, and one of the things we're doing is our school, Cloudwise Academy, is training high school kids to build these sites and partner or be mentored by local web development companies. So the idea here is to not only help our young people get talent, but also to help local businesses get these sites done. So we're actually starting another class. And you can go to cloudwiseacademy.com. Here's the thing. If you've got a high school kid, it's free. Okay, this class has already been paid for. Reach Higher Shasta and Butte College has a fund for this kind of thing. They have actually paid for this class, and we can take right around 20 students. They've got to be high school kids. And so go to cloudwiseacademy.com. It's right there on the homepage. Click on it, the class for high school kids, and just sign up. It's free. It is free. I mean, we can only handle about 20 seats, so it is first come, first serve. And you can also figure out or read what the requirements are, what do they need for laptops and all that kind of thing right there. Also, Jake, who's going to be the instructor, he was actually up at Dunsmuir High School yesterday presenting to the kids at Dunsmuir High School, and looks like we'll have some of those kids in the class, which is really cool. They're getting a chance. They're kind of out there. If Shasta County's kind of out there, Dunsmuir's even further out there, but tech can still reach them.
Yeah, so, that's kind of the weird thing. I remember growing up here in Reading, which is a smaller town, and everybody used to always say that we were 5 years behind the trends, this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, since the internet, none of that exists.
No. And that's really the idea. I'm glad you brought that up, Chauncey, because Project Hometown the idea is there is no barrier. Reading or Shasta County can be the leader. It doesn't have to be, you know, like the Bay Area or Seattle. It can be. There's nothing holding us back. So that's the idea of Project Hometown. We do need businesses to take part. You know, I'm sorry I'm going to use this analogy, but we can lead the horse. We can't make them drink. So businesses, you do have to reach out. So how do you reach out? How do you pair up with these kids? Well, you can go to projecthometown.com, and it'll tell you more about this, and you can sign up right there at the very top. It says get connected or connect with us. Go ahead and connect that, and we'll start sending you information. We are ready to take our first applicants of businesses that we are going to help get their websites online. There is a cost, but I'm telling you, this is so minimal. It's $750. That half that goes to the student and half that goes to the mentor business that's helping that student. It's nothing. And the web development company and the student are following a set criteria that's been developed by Project Hometown and the committee. So you know you're going to get the right thing. You know you're going to get quality. You know you're going to get what you're supposed to. So if you're a business, if you know anybody in business, and they don't have a website or they don't have a really good website that's doing what it's supposed to, go to projecthometown.com. And if you have any high school students who are interested, go to CloudWise Academy. I don't know. How did I do? Did I explain that okay, Chauncey?
Yeah, absolutely. When does the class start?
It's a good question. I think the class is either starting in the last week of February or early March.
Okay, and they're evening classes, so kids can go after school.
Yeah, they're in the afternoons. There's two classes a week. They're 2 to 3 hours long. I think it depends a little bit on the criteria in this particular class. And they're 6 weeks. The classes are 6 weeks long. Now, here's a cool thing. I'm glad you're asking me these questions, Chauncey, because these kids are actually going to build a website and launch it. I actually think of this like woodshop. I really liked woodshop and metal shop when I was a kid. As a matter of fact, I still tell my wife that I'm going to be a welder someday, which I have not welded really since I was a kid. But I loved that class so much that I want to be a welder. So when I grow up, I'm going to be a welder. But I loved that it wasn't theory on how to weld a bead. You know, I actually had to, you know, get down there and weld, and I saw what worked and what didn't work, and I saw when the welding material blew through the metal. See, I'm so not a welder, I don't even know what I'm talking about. When the MIG thing was too hot and blew through, and I got to actually physically learn how to do it. Well, that's the idea of the classes at CloudWise Academy. These kids build a site, and in real time, they're seeing what's working, they're seeing what's not working, and instructors helping them get through it. And I just think that makes it easier to learn, and frankly, more enjoyable. So, how about that? Did I get that? Did I make sense of that?
Absolutely. You know, I can imagine that anybody hearing this is thinking that there's a kid. You know, we live in a day, I don't know about past days, but I do know that when you talk to people about kids these days, they have a lot of concerns about where they're going with their futures.
Right.
Is my politest way of putting it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
And in the past, I think in my generation, you know, people were concerned about, you know, drugs. They were concerned about other things. But now people are really more concerned about opportunity and where they're going to find it and stuff like that. And so I think this is a great way to sort of point kids to success at an early age.
Right. Yeah, and one last point. I mean, you know, if we look at the malls and strip malls and stores that are going out of business, you know, kind of, you know, there is a shift in how our economy operates. And who knows where that's going. But it does mean that there's less opportunity for kids in normal positions. You know, for instance, Sears in our hometown is going to be going out of business, I think, from what I read in the newspaper. Well, I worked there for 3 or 4 years while I was learning how to work. And so did my sisters. You know, that was a place that young people went to work and learned how to work. Well, that's, you know, there's a new economy now. And so this is just one of the ways we can help kids find this new economy. Okay, so check it out. If you're a business, go to projecthometown.com. If you know a high schooler who you think this would be a great class, go to cloudwiseacademy.com and you'll find it out. We're going to have a great show. As always, there's a bunch of news going on. Google is warning you that something's coming up, and they're going to warn your customers that your website is not secure by July if you don't update and get ready for this. So we're going to tell you about that. We're also going to tell you about what one of the largest sources of traffic is to your website and how it's growing. So you're listening to the Being Found Show, and we'll be right back.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hello, I am Lance Beck, president of North State Security. Were you aware that North State Security has patrolled the streets of Reading for nearly 18,500 consecutive nights? The Pony Express has nothing on us. Through rain, sleet, snow, and blistering heat, North State Security has been the most prodigious private security agency in Northern California for 50 years. We are incredibly ecstatic, yet extraordinarily humbled by the realization of our 50th anniversary. With courage, determination, and a bountiful of integrity, my father, founded this business with nothing more than an immense desire to succeed. North State Security, 50 years later, a formidable force in this region with approximately 130 licensed and properly trained security officers, geared to handle any conceivable security-related need you have. Thank you to the entire North State community for making our remarkable history such a good story. North State Security, providing jobs, protecting assets. Call us at 243-0295.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're going to make sure you're being found by more buying customers. I'm your host, Cloudwise Joe, I'm sitting here with Chauncey. Hey, Chauncey, in this section or in this segment, I want to go over the news that's going on.
All right.
And there's some interesting things that are coming out with Google and what it, how it intends to warn people. And then I also want to get in, if we have time, I want to get into what's going on with one of the fastest growing traffic source to website, which is organic search. I want to make sense of that. So there was a couple articles that came out this week. And let's see, this first one is from, well, I guess both these are from Search Engine Journal. This first article came out yesterday, the 9th. And here's what the title was. The title was Google Sets Deadline for HTTPS and Warns Publishers to Upgrade Soon. I'm going to just read a little bit because I think they do a good job of explaining it. And then let's break this down, Chauncey, of if businesses should be wary of this and if they should do anything about it, okay? So here, this article goes on. Let's see, who wrote this article? Who's the author? I don't know who the author is. So this article goes on to say this. Google has announced a deadline of July 2018 as the date for when Chrome, so the browser Chrome, will begin explicitly warning users if a site is insecure. Over 50% of internet browsers worldwide are on Chrome. So, like, what do you go to the internet with? Do you go to the internet with Chrome, Safari, Explorer? That's the browser. Well, Google owns Chrome. And so what Google's saying is, hey, on our browser, when you go to the internet, we're going to display a warning if your site's insecure. Let's go on. Meaning this change may have a significant impact on web publishers. A prominent warning may affect how secure users feel and may cause some visitors to leave a site, which will negatively impact the site. Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so let's break this down. What is HTTPS, Chauncey, and what does that have to do with whether Google thinks a site is secure?
Okay, well, HTTP is Hypertext Transfer Protocol, and so that S means
Nerd.
That it's secure. Yeah, I know. And that S means that it's secure with something called a secured socket layer. And now all that sounds really fancy, but all that really means is that when your website is up on the internet, before it comes down to you, it's encrypted. And then it comes down to you and your computer decrypts it. Meaning anybody who were to catch that signal in between wouldn't necessarily be able to or as easily interpret the data.
So that HTTP or HTTPS is something that you see up in the browser when you're typing in your website address. And
right.
And what you're saying is if you can type your website in and see it and there's no HTTPS, that means
right.
that you're not using a secure layer in the transfer from the website server to the customer's browser, which means that you are not a secure site. Right?
So what you're telling me is I put the cart before the horse in my explanation. But yes, that is exactly the case.
No.
A good way is to look at your website and look at the address bar, you know, the place where you type it in, where you copy that URL to send it to somebody else. And if it doesn't say HTTPS, you don't have a secure website and Google's going to have a problem with that. Now, people are already in some browsers like Firefox and Chrome seeing it can show up red up there, or it can show a little unlock, where if it is secure, it'll have a little green bar. And, you know, this is hugely important because people, especially people who don't understand the internet very well, have a deep-seated, we're all generally scared of what we don't understand, and we're all scared of, like, viruses and stuff like that. So when people see a warning like that, man, they are out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest thing that jumps out is, you know, here, if I've got a website and I'm selling my products and, I work hard getting traffic to my site and beautiful images and great content, and I got that website set so people are going to buy, and now all of a sudden half of the population is getting a warning before they can look at my products on the site or being told that my site's not secure, you know, what does that do to my sales? And I'm going to tell you right now, because I've seen warnings like this, only your most devoted customers are going to continue with the sale. Like you said, the rest of the people, knowledgeable ones.
Right, which is few and far between.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a very big deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This, if you have a website and it is playing any role in your online sales, this is a very big deal. I wish there was some way we could get this particular radio show out to every business in the United States before July. I don't know if we can. Hey, Andrea, promote the heck out of this segment when it's on our website.
And I would say do it before June. You know, July seems like a long ways off, but what it entails to do that takes knowledge. So basically, you call up GoDaddy or wherever, you know, I just use GoDaddy because that's a simple example, and they say, well, we're going to sell you an SSL and give you that HTTPS. And you say, okay, $100 a year, I don't know what they charge you, but they're way down from that right now. and you get it done, but it's still not going to show up secure. Basically, if that page, so every image on your page also has a link, that needs to be HTTPS as well. So you need to have your developer or something do this, and so you need a little time.
Right.
I don't know if I explained that very well, but
no, you're right. It's not. It's easier than it's ever been, but it still can be complicated. You know, Chauncey, one of our clients is a really large e-commerce site, and we actually brought this up about 3 months ago to them, and it took about 3 months for their very large website to be made secure. It wasn't just a matter of flipping a switch. So this is something that every business should be working on now.
Right, and the larger the business, the more glacial of a pace they move at because of meetings and board members, and then once you finally get down to the tech, you know, that'll take some time too. So
yeah.
There's lots of free information out there, though.
Yeah, so let's just talk about one more little thing that may not be as tragic as if you didn't do this, and there's another factor to this, and that is that this is Google obviously telling us that to them, your site being secure is important. So if Google says it's important, then it's important. And remember, it's their website. Google has got its own website that displays your stuff. And if it says that we only want to display content to our users that's secure, well, then you simply make the choice to not be displayed on Google's website unless you have secured your site. It's literally a choice you're making. It's not a mystery. Google's saying, we want you to have a secure site or we don't want to display your content on our site. I mean, you know, that's paraphrasing, but that's, you know, that's essentially what they're saying. So if you want to be found by more buying customers and you want your content to show up on Google, then this is a rule you have to follow.
Right. You know, we've explained this a lot of times on here. Google's clients are the visitors, not the businesses.
Yeah.
So Google's focus is on the visitor, and so they don't want to serve something up to their visitor that isn't secure, because then those visitors are going to be all, well, we don't want to use Google anymore.
Right. And they don't want that. Okay, so another way you can figure out, you got to ask yourself, how do you know if your site's secure? Well, one way is to see if HTTPS shows up there where you type in the thing. However, it doesn't mean you were configured right, so you still can't have, you might not show up there, and there still may be an SSL. There's ways to have got that wrong. So another thing you can do is you can go to beingfound.com, and we have a way to test this. So just see test your website. Basically test your website for all kinds of search engine tasks and qualities to see how well your site's doing. And one of the things it looks for is whether your site's set up with HTTPS. So go to beingfound.com and look for the test my site. And you put a couple fields in and there you are. You've tested your site and you'll get a report. Okay, so that's a big one, Chauncey. Yeah?
That it is. Yeah.
There's, you know, this other article I want to get into that may end up going into the next segment. So I think what I'm going to try to do instead is let's do our two-minute tip, and let's actually try to do it in 2 minutes. You ready?
Yes, go.
Okay, so the question is, in this two-minute tip, is your website alienating you from Google and half your customers, or more than half your customers? And what do I mean? I mean, is your site mobile-friendly? And here's the thing. I know that, and jump in, Chauncey, if you want to help or support this within 2 minutes. But basically, I think all businesses are kind of tired of hearing mobile-friendly, mobile-friendly, mobile-friendly. Is my site mobile-friendly? Well, here's the thing. I think in this next article we're going to talk about, you'll see some of those statistics or hear some of those statistics. But every month, every year, more and more of the Internet is shifting to using their phone instead of their laptop or their computer. And we use our phones when we're in active need of something. When I'm trying to find shoes, if I have my phone, it's probably because I'm trying to find shoes right now to buy. If I'm looking up movie times and I have my phone, it's because I want movie times now. And so is your site mobile friendly? Not only matters to your customers, but Google is giving you tools. So it must matter to Google, and Google is even saying it. And so the two-minute tip is, You can just literally go to Google and type in Google, Google mobile test. And when you type that in Google, right there in the results page in the knowledge graph or whatever you call it, Chauncey, you're actually going to see a place right there in Google results where you can type in your website address and hit run test. And it's going to tell you if your website is mobile friendly or not in about 15 seconds. So if you can hear my voice, if you can hear this show, or if you read us on beingfound.com, just do that one thing, please. Go test your site. And I'm not even going to tell you the URL. Google it. Google mobile test. And it's actually going to pull up the test right there in Google results. That's the two-minute tip. I didn't give you any time to jump in, Chauncey. I'm sorry. You can in a minute. This is the Being Found show, and we're going to be right back after the break.
Dome is the return of the premier Northern California NorCal Boat Sport and RV show in Anderson, now through Sunday. It's fun for the whole family and the best prices of the year on all forms of sport and recreation. It's the one sport event of the year not to be missed. Fishing and pleasure boats, RVs, tackle, wildcats of the world show, hydroflight demos, meet Mason and tackle Rob, ride the zipline, Bill's propeller bass bin, the Pepsi Kid Live Drop Fishing Pond, ultimate base camp, Liberty Cabins, Boone and Crockett display. All this and more at the Shasta District Fairgrounds and Event Center, sponsored in part by Action News Now and this radio station.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, March 16th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on 1460 AM KCNR.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheridan Redding Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
The Being Found Show. I'm Cloudwise Joe. And this other guy is, who are you?
I am regular old Chauncey.
Yeah, that's not much of a superpower, being regular old Chauncey.
Well, you're not allowed to come up with your own nickname. Somebody else. I'm Slim.
I like Slim. Yeah. Or the SEO Artisan.
The SEO Artisan.
I like that one.
We'll come up with something. Yeah. I
actually came up with... Oh, no, I didn't come up with my own. I kind of came up with my own. What would happen is when I first started CloudWise Academy, everyone would say, hey, are you, that Joe, CloudWise Joe? So
yeah,
I guess I didn't come up with it. Okay, so I want to get in this other article about some trends that are going on. I don't know; they kind of seem obvious to me, but at the same time, it kind of helps to put some numbers to what we see happening. So, this is also out of Search Engine Journal. Gosh, they must be one of my favorite sources.
That's a good one.
Right, and then essentially what they're saying, let's see, when did this one came out? This one also came out on the 9th, and the title of, go to Search Engine Journal if you want to look at it yourself, or we'll probably have shared it in our Facebook, Organic Search Sees Largest Growth Rate in Over 2 Years.
Written by Matt Southern this time.
Matt Southern, you got his, I don't see it.
Yeah, it's in the footer.
It's not on my notes, all right. Yeah, so Matt Southern wrote this article. Great article, Matt. So essentially what Matt's done here is he's pulling out some of the highlights from a digital marketing report put out for Q4 in 2017. It's the Merkle's Digital Marketing Report. Before we even get started, I kind of want to break out what does it even mean that we're talking about organic search and the fact that it's the largest rate of growth in 2 years. So organic search... that is the traffic that hits your website where people were looking for products or services or something organically. They were just looking. It wasn't an ad. You didn't send them there by email or social. They found you in a search engine and they clicked on your content and went to your site. And Google Analytics and other tracking software will tell you what type of traffic went to your website. So if you're not sure what type of traffic goes to your website, look in your Google Analytics. Make that something you do on a regular basis. So this article goes on to say that it's the largest growth in over 2 years, and total site visits driven by organic search were up 6% year over year in the fourth quarter of 2017, which is said to be the strongest rate of growth since 2015. Even desktop organic search visits were up in 2017 following a sharp drop last year. That's a little weird. Why is that, Chauncey? Why are we seeing, it did seem like we were on the way to the end of desktops. It's kind of like the end of paper once we got print, once we got, computers, right? But it appears that we're still...
I have a philosophical answer for this. I have a philosophical answer.
SEO Artisan. SEO Sage. Is that taken?
Sage.io.
I like that. Okay, go ahead.
That everybody wants to make their lives easier. We live in this time where everybody's just, I'll do what you love. If you want to be a cobbler for only red shoes, you just do that and you'd be passionate about it and you'll succeed, which we all know is not necessarily true. You do have to be a little bit smarter about what you're doing. And so a lot of people, I think, moved to the idea that they could do everything from their tablets or phone and really sort of figured out that they couldn't, that certain things take focus. Like my wife does all of our banking and our taxes and everything, and she goes into the computer room, she closes the door, she sits down at that desk, and that's where she does the work. She has access to do it from her phone or tablet, but she doesn't want to.
Yeah, I agree. I think probably part of it is that we are seeing not just that we're finding that we still want to do things with a desktop and those things, but I think overall we are spending more time on our laptop or desktops because, when we watch a football game or a show we like, what are we doing? We're Googling the cast in the show. We're getting stats on a player. And frankly, a laptop can do that better than my phone, And although the whole world may have made an app for that, I'm still more comfortable doing it on my laptop, right? So I think we are finding more and more reasons to use all of it also, think?
Yeah, and it brings up another point is statistically people are now more apt to be watching these things on their laptops.
Yeah, that is true.
Than on the TV. So you're already sitting there. You're already sitting at your, you know, in my room, I have a large computer monitor and a computer on a desk that doubles as the TV in my room.
Yeah.
You know, it's just big. And so, you know, those lines are starting to blur where people are, you know, the Super Bowl just happened and viewership was down. And there was a big thing in the news about the Marine Corps targeting tech people just by advertising during the Super Bowl to people who were watching online. You know,
okay. Yeah, that's right. And that reminds me of another great point along those same lines is Deadpool. Yeah, Deadpool, the Marvel movie that's coming out with Ryan Reynolds. Well, instead of buying advertising time, he tweeted during the Super Bowl and made comments about the Super Bowl and things like that. And that ended up being his way or, you know, their way of strategically being relevant and getting viewership during the Super Bowl without buying Super Bowl ads. And
right.
They even made fun of they were being too cheap. And so they are tweeting, right, you know. And so you would have had to have been on your computer or your device to take part in that. So I think you're right. I think it's partly we are finding the intention that best fits us with the device. We're marrying that intention and that device together, and it doesn't mean we're leaving one for another. They're just all – they're kind of taking their place in our life. Now, having said all that, when this report looked at mobile organic search specifically – it saw an even greater rate of growth at 15% year over year. Mobile search market is primarily dominated by Google, at least in the U.S. Google accounted for 96% of all site visits driven by mobile organic search in Q4 of 2017. I think this supports your sage advice here, Chauncey. Essentially, both grew. Mobile grew more. But this isn't one of those things where desktop didn't grow and mobile grew so much. We saw, you know, kind of the whole pie get bigger.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think, you know, another one that is a guess on my part is that this year Google rolled out new AdWords layouts that dropped the organic results further down the page. But I bet you a side effect of that is people went from not being entirely sure if they were clicking ads to being incredibly sure that they were, and maybe they're more apt to scroll past them because they don't want the ads. They want to feel like they're getting actual answers.
Yeah, you know, and something just kind of struck me. You know, when we look at the method that we talk about, which is being available, being found, and then amplifying, you know, there's still more to this, right? There's social, there's directories, there's email, there's paid search, there's ads, there's TV. There's all these different ways that people are finding out about you, but they are all going to or looking for your website when they find out about you there, right? So a website or being available in all these places that are important to you and your customers. To me, these stats just support how much more that is becoming important.
Yeah, well, the last line of this article we're talking about, it says social media platforms produced just 3.3% of all site visits in quarter four 2017.
Right. And everyone puts all their effort into social.
Well, it's good for branding, and it's good for the idea, and people get the name in their head, but when they finally think about it or need it, they search it.
They search it, you know?
Yeah.
That's why, that's why I always come back to, you know, there's six core things that you got to focus on. Starts with the customer, but the next one's search. So if somebody's talking to you about some crazy strategy about how you can get 10,000 people to like you on Facebook, which will turn into $10 million, you need to say to yourself, okay, well, do I have my search strategy in place and have I maximized that? Because if you haven't, you will have wasted your money and your time for 3% of traffic. As opposed to more. Now, keep in mind, we don't know if that 3% doesn't all convert. But if they did, they would still have to convert at $10 million a product or some crazy thing like that, you know, if it's only 3%.
Well, it's like our being found, you know. It's like, why would you want to make it difficult to be found, you know? Guys selling oranges on the side of the road, they're not down some old country trail. They're at an intersection because they want to be found. They're saying, here we are, you know.
Right.
You know, put yourself out there. Say, yep, here we are.
Okay. All right. So you're listening to the Being Found Show. We're about ready to go to break. You can check us out at beingfound.com. You can also check out your site. Go to beingfound.com, test your site, see how it's doing, and we'll be right back after this break.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is the Being Found Show with your hosts, Cloudwise Joe and Chauncey, the SEO sage, or Sage-alicious, we like to call him. check us out at beingfound.com or check us out on Facebook, Being Found Help Center. Okay, so these shows go so fast. We're in the last segment of this show. For me, as I've been learning the internet and how it all works and, you know, marketing and sales and the whole thing, probably one of the most relieving things that I found was that there are tools that the pros use, and those tools make life easier. When you're working with online marketing or really anything complicated, I guess this is as simple as, you know, your dad's teaching you to work either on a car, or like my dad taught me how to finish concrete and lay brick and block. you know, there are specific tools for a job. And if you go to use a socket wrench when you're supposed to use a screwdriver, it's not going to work. And so the same thing really exists in the internet, in internet marketing and being found. And it's always been great relief to me when I'm up against something that's really challenging and I come across a tool. And especially if it's one that's, you know, really well done or popular. And so what I like to do every now and again is share those tools the pros use, because these same tools are made for you and I, for regular people who are running businesses. If nothing else, you can use these tools to check up on your pros. And so I want to talk about a tool called iSpinage. Was that how you say it, Chauncey?
Well, it's like espionage, only with an I. iSpinage. Yeah.
Yeah. When I just lost it because I was clicking my stopwatch. Okay. So what is it? Well, I mean, in short, it helps you. This may not sound terribly ethical, but it helps you steal the keywords that your competitors are using. It'll help you see which landing pages they are using.
Let's put that in nicer terms. It will give you a better understanding of what other people in your industry are doing as far as advertising and SEO.
Okay, but steal is only one word. Oh, that's right. You're an SEO guy, so you've got to extend that out.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not stealing. Here's why. It's all public. Right. It's all public, right? Yeah. So, if you were to sit there and record, you know, in pencil or however you want to do it, every result that showed up on Google for your competitors when you search all the billions of different keywords that could be related to competitors, and you wrote down whether they showed up number one or number five when you put in camper shell, well, that's really what these tools do. They go out there and they Google search, and then they record what's being found. They record which ad showed up when some of the billions of keywords that they put into Google brought up a different ad or a different result. And then they click through. These tools follow that ad or that result in Google, and they go to the landing page, and they record that landing page. So essentially there are billions of keywords and I don't know how many websites that are all being recorded. And these tools, like iSpinage, however you say it, they nicely display that information. So, for instance,
it is really clean and easy to understand.
It really
is. This is my first time seeing it, so it really is nice and clean. Because in the past, I might have used something like SpyFu for this, but I'm really liking the look of this.
Yeah, this one's up. I use SpyFu too, and SpyFu's, you know, it's good.
It is good.
But this one's nice. So essentially what I've done is I've put into this tool Best Buy, and I hit search. Yes, we can put in Best Buy or any website that's public. And when I hit search, here's the kind of things we're getting back. We know that this tool has found that there are at least 17,000 keywords that Best Buy is being found for. We know that generally their ad position in things like Google AdWords and things like that is number two. We also have a guess on what they're spending. I happen to know that the spend, their budget in these isn't terribly correct. It really comes from an algorithm. But we can at least get an idea. But here it gets even cooler. I'm actually looking at the ads that are being found. So I can see that for keywords, they've got Geek Squad, Louisville, Kentucky, Best Buy headphones, Best Buy computer chairs, TVs, and I can see that those keywords are related to this ad, Geek Squad, official site, tech support for PCs and tablets. I can literally see what keywords and ads, and then I can also see the landing pages that those ads are going to. So, now, if you're a smaller... and I gotta look, see how much time here. If you're a small company or I guess even if you're a large company who wants to compete with Best Buy, but let's say you're a local company and you sell TVs and chairs and that kind of thing, and now you want to have an AdWords campaign and you want to start using AdWords, well, you've got a couple options. You can pay someone to do it, which I think in a lot of cases you should. You can do it yourself starting from scratch and hope to figure out what keywords or ads will work for you and which landing pages will work for you. Or you can use something like this, where you literally have a strategy laid out in front of you and you can reassess and change the keywords up so they fit you. You can see ads that worked and you can use similar style ads, and you can make sure you have landing pages with the same kind of content or answering the same kind of questions. And you are now starting better off with your ad campaign than you would have had you started from scratch. Did I explain that okay, Chauncey?
Yeah, you did. And I think if you couple that with the fact that a lot of people don't know that if you were to do AdWords, you just frankly call up Google and say, hey, I need some help. They'll help you. You do a little research here. You know, you can be up and running and have a fairly decent understanding. And now I wouldn't suggest that every business go out and take care of their own AdWords, but having some concept of your AdWords before you pay somebody else to do it is frankly pretty smart.
Yeah, that's right. If I'm going to check up on someone I'm paying to do AdWords, I'm going to go look at some of my competitors and see what's working. And this is really competitive research. I was being tongue-in-cheek with Steele. It's competitive research done for you.
What do the politicians call it? They call it opposition research?
Yeah, opposition research, yeah. Exactly. So what I'm doing is I'm seeing what the competitors are doing, which helps inform me when I talk to the company I'm hiring or the person I'm hiring to handle my AdWords. I always advocate that as a business owner, you have to know. You don't let your accountant or your sales reps say or do things that you don't understand what impact it's going to have on you. Well, you shouldn't let something as important as being found online, which arguably might be one of the most important parts of your business, you shouldn't let that happen in a vacuum where you can't tell what a good-looking campaign should look like.
Right.
And these tools like iSpinage, or whatever you call it, why can't I say this, Chauncey? iSpinage.
B-anage.
Whatever. What he said.
Say espionage.
Espionage. Okay, so you can, it's funny, we transcribe these, so that term is going to be probably said wrong 15 times.
Transcription.
So you can go to www.ispionage.com, or you can check out this segment on Being Found Show. And you can do this for free. They'll let you search a couple for free. So go here and try a couple of your competitors or sites.
Real people, real winners, looking to make memories with friends and family on the water this spring and summer? Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our Land to Lake Swipe to Win promotion for your chance to win a brand new Ranger patio boat from Red and Yamaha Sea-Doo. Earn entries all month long. Every 200 points gets you an entry, four times the entries on Mondays and Tuesdays. Swipe daily for your chance to win a variety of prizes. Plus, we have new games just waiting to hit the jackpot. It's simple. Spin the wheels on your favorite slot machine or swipe your free River Club card for your chance to win free slot play on Fridays at 8 p.m. Final drawing Friday, March 30th. Grand prize, a brand new Ranger patio boat. Plus 14 lucky winners, $200 free slot play. Make this your relaxation station for fun and adventure, celebrating moments of creating memories all season long. Land to Lake Swipe to Win, a brand new Ranger patio boat. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's playtime all the time. Land to Lake Swipe to Win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Your home. It's where the sunrise starts your day, where you entertain the closest of friends, where the family gathers around the dinner table, and where your memories are made. Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is building those memories every day. They invite you to discover the residential community of River Point in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees, RV parking, energy efficiency, truly exceptional interior and exterior features, designer kitchens with granite countertops, and stylish master
Master Suites. With its tree-lined streets, Riverpoint provides quality living at reasonable pricing with many floor plans to choose from. With prices starting at $299,800 for the home of your dreams. One of our featured homes, a brand new 4-bed, 2-bath home with a 3-car garage and over 2,000 square feet of living space was just completed at Riverpoint Subdivision. Featuring granite countertops, a beautiful cozy fireplace, green technology, and a huge landscape backyard listed at under $361,000. Contact Debbie Morgan of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties for details.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. There were reports of shots fired near the North Lawn of the White House this morning. The Secret Service said its personnel responded to reports of a person who allegedly suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound along the north fence line of the White House. President Trump was not at the White House at the time. He's in Florida, but is set to return later today. A 19-year-old student suspected of killing his parents at a Central Michigan University dormitory before running from campus was apprehended early today. Central Michigan University Police Chief William Yeagley says police received a call shortly after midnight from a train traveling through the north end of campus.
One of the operators of that train noticed a subject standing out near the railroad tracks at 10 after 12 in the morning, found that suspicious and called us. Within 2 minutes, CMU police officers were on scene, and within a minute after that had the suspect in custody.
Authorities say James Eric Davis Jr. was arrested without incident. A nor'easter pounded the Atlantic coast with hurricane-force winds and sideways rain and snow Friday, flooding streets, grounding flights, stopping trains, and leaving 1.6 million customers without power from North Carolina to Maine. Truck driver Bruce Brooks tells WNEP he got stuck on a side street in northeastern Pennsylvania, and he's not happy to have been directed off the interstate.
That's not right. The man gave us terrible directions. This is not no place to take a semi-truck. We were on a safe haven right on the interstate. We could have just stayed there. There was no reason to divert us onto this road.
At least 5 people were killed by falling trees or branches. Tens of thousands of Russian President Vladimir Putin supporters are participating in a campaign rally at Moscow's sprawling main sports complex. It comes just days before the March 18th election. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Think about the time and money your business spends to attract the best talent. What if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce wants an office that's as mobile and active as they are. Veridesk Standing Desk Solutions help you create an active workspace where employees are happier, healthier, and more productive. Veridesk products require little to no assembly, ship for free, and come with a 30-day risk-free guarantee. Browse all Veridesk products at veridesk.com/radio. That's veridesk.com/radio.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up 2 bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the 3rd bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
White House Chief of Staff John Kelly is defending himself over his handling of domestic abuse allegations against a former top aide.
Kelly told reporters he had done nothing to even consider resigning over. Rob Porter resigned last month over reports he had abused 2 ex-wives. Kelly admits the White House team did not cover themselves in glory in response to the allegations. Originally, the White House put out statements defending Porter, including one from Kelly, who says that was after he had heard only the first accusation. It also raised questions about Porter's access to classified information. John Kelly described himself as shocked by the alleged abuse, saying he had viewed Porter as the ultimate gentleman. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A Malaysian official says the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 by a U.S. company will likely end in June as families of passengers mark the 4th anniversary of the plane's disappearance. News and analysis at townhall.com. Federal health officials say the worst of the nation's flu season may be over.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports the current flu season peaked in early February and is now on the decline. While 45 states plus Puerto Rico continue to report widespread flu activity, that number is down from previous weeks. Doctor visits due to flu-like symptoms are down over the past week alone, although 17 children died from the flu. The total number of flu-related pediatric deaths this season is 114.
Correspondent Linda Kenyon reporting. China is warning that President Trump's vow to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum will have a huge impact on the global trading order. Chinese leaders have threatened in the past to retaliate if Mr. Trump raises trade barriers, but that could escalate into a fight that might disrupt China's access to one of its biggest markets. A Commerce Ministry official says Beijing will work with other affected countries in taking measures to safeguard its own rights. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my recovering co-host of Radio Wasteland. What are we?
You say Sean? That like it sounds like I'm recovering from being the co-host.
Yeah, well, you survived the flu.
Did survive the flu. That's true.
And you're a young person.
Yeah, I've never not survived the flu before, but I mean, I guess that is a good thing to be thankful for here.
You can only not survive the flu once.
That is true. Well, yeah, I remember this one time in fourth grade where it killed me and I died. And
luckily,
had this big
I had
funeral,
a plus
but,
five
you know.
Potion of healing and I was fine.
Yeah, I'm okay now. You know, I got over that whole phase.
Yeah, well, the flu's killing young people, you know.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't read the news. Oh, I do read the news, but I haven't read that in the news.
Really, it's been all over the news. I get my news in half-hour increments a night from Lester Holt. I know it's probably, you know, we live in a world where people are so divided that they either get their news from, you know, I was watching this article the other day that part of the reason why we're so divided is that social media is where a lot of people get their news, and
right.
Social media is catering what we like to us. And
yeah,
so
it doesn't show you the other stuff.
It's showing you everything that you already believe in, and so people are just getting reinforced without getting some sort of deal. So I tend to watch Lester Holt with a grain of salt, and then I turn it off.
Hmm.
Point
probably
being, there's a lot of flu deaths. On there.
Yeah,
something like 84 kids this year.
Well, I didn't know there was a lot of flu deaths, but it is traditionally children and elderly people. So.
Yeah, but we're talking like 20s and late teens.
That is weird and concerning.
Yeah,
so
not anymore. You're fine now.
Yeah, I guess I'm a survivor. Unless it's one of those flus where it's like you're really bad for a few days and then the symptoms all but disappear and then you suddenly just drop dead.
Here's hoping.
Okay, now.
So, you being a young person, this actually fits what I've been thinking today. You know, my wife and my daughter and myself and a lot of people I know have been in this sort of phase of our lives where we're kind of asking, how exactly did I get here? And why? Why exactly did I get here? You know, my wife and I have been budgeting our money and we feel like we have less money. We've been budgeting it, and it's harder to pay off our debt than it was when we weren't budgeting it. And we're asking ourselves, how exactly did we get here? And so, you as a young buck.
Wait, you're looking to me for some kind of insight into that?
Oh, no.
I don't know anything.
I'm going to give you a life lesson.
Oh, good.
That
okay.
Hopefully you will move forward and know exactly how you got there.
All right, hit me.
Most of us think we got here because of the bad decisions that we made.
Okay.
But most of us actually got here because of all the decisions we just didn't make at all.
Right.
that
that's reasonable.
Life is moving forward, and it's going to spank the crap out of you if you don't get up and make some decisions. So, recently, what is your...
You're looking right at me, so I
want to know
like
what's your big life... Well, I don't know. I don't, you know. But what's a life decision you've made here lately? PC.
What's that?
Make it PC.
No,
I don't want anything weird.
I mean, I think you're right, because I don't make a lot of decisions, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think a lot of people your age do. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean millennials.
I mean, I mean
people your age throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, I did leave a job earlier and then went to another job. But
that's a big life change.
That's a, yeah, it is.
You decided that you didn't want this job, and then you went out and you got another job.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
That's a decision.
So the other thing in the news that... I've been thinking about is that the Olympics are over.
Yes.
Which I think we can all go back to hating one another. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a good time for hate.
Yeah. We can all applaud the fact, though, that I think we're all going to appreciate it, that while we love watching our people win, our television shows are going to go back to normal.
Yes.
I've been missing out on a lot of TV because of Olympics.
Well, I have never watched TV on the TV when things aired. I've always streamed it after the fact, so...
Yeah, but they don't air. There's nothing to stream after the fact. All the TV shows just go on hold. I don't watch them on real time.
That's a travesty.
It is a travesty.
Goodness, where have I been?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Not making decisions, apparently.
Not making decisions, apparently. So, that's about all I got. What do you got going on this week?
There's a lot of angry arguments on my Facebook feed these days.
About what?
I mean, a lot of it's like gun control and stuff. But
oh, yeah, that's
I feel
a big
like,
one out there.
You know, since that's out there, that like spurs arguments about everything else.
Yeah.
Because people are just like frustrated because they aren't winning that argument or they are, but like no one really wins an argument on Facebook because everyone goes away believing exactly what they believed when they came in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't even think of a metric by which you could even say that someone has won one of those arguments. But, you know, in
more,
any case...
More like emojis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. But it's like, that actually... that doesn't help anyone, really.
No.
So, yeah, it's just weird. It's weird watching, like, spin-off arguments from
well,
the main argument.
This gun argument, I definitely have something to shove in the face of the right and the left.
Sure.
To shove in the face of the right, so many people are coming up with this argument in defense of the AR-15 that it, you know, is that some people use it for hunting and this, that, and the other thing. Unless I'm mistaken, AR stands for assault rifle, doesn't it?
No, it stands for Armalite, which is the manufacturer.
Really?
Yeah, no, it doesn't stand for that at all. It's a pretty common misconception. And also, assault rifle doesn't really mean anything. But if you call it,
it means
a tactical
a rifle for salting.
Right. I think a more reasonable term is tactical rifle.
Right, right, right. So it's definitely a tactical rifle. It's a rifle for fighting.
Well,
so
yeah, you can shoot a lot of rounds and you can do it really quickly.
Right.
And, yeah.
And then
and
my
accurate.
My argument to the other side is that the Second Amendment is not going away.
No.
You know, it just isn't. You know, so we have a
no,
lot.
No,
people...
I mean, I completely agree.
Right. And, you know, regardless of how people feel about it, you know, do you think you should do a little more, do a little less? Well, that's just the way that it is. It is not going away. It's a part of our Constitution, you know.
Yeah.
And people were so upset about booze going away that I don't think we're going back there for quite some time. You know? Booze is still an uncomfortable memory in
right.
American
I don't
history.
Think anyone wants a repeat of Prohibition, so
right.
We're not going to do it with guns either.
So up after the break, we got our guest. We got Cindy Vovoda after the break here, and she is the co-founder of Hunters of the Unknown.
I thought we were the Hunters of the Unknown.
Well, I think we are Hunters of the Unknown,
just in the
but I think there
sense.
Is the, like,
I see.
You know, capitalized.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so they basically, from what I've grasped, we're going to learn a lot more from her. They drive around and investigate all sorts of interesting things. A lot of things that I haven't even heard of. Stonehenge of Indiana? Have you ever heard of
No.
this? And then you heard about this one, the Kentucky Goblin Investigation.
That's right.
And that one was, like, totally new to me. So stick around. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Cindy Vovoda.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit. At Wind River Retreat, indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean. Here at Wind River Retreat, our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Cindy Vovoda. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Cindy? Oh, she's coming around.
Hello?
Cindy, there we are.
Yes.
Cindy, hi. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly of Vovoda?
Voivoda.
Voivoda.
Voivoda. Huh?
We weren't sure what to do with the J.
Yeah.
Right. Most people aren't. The J or Y.
Well, having the name Chauncey, I definitely get that a lot. My wife's name is Terry, and my name's Chauncey, and we'll introduce ourselves to new couples, and people have to figure out which one's which.
Your last name's harder to get yourself around.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks
so. I've really been kind of excited about having you on, because I feel like you're doing what I wish I was doing, because unless I'm misreading your situation, I have been referring to you, to my wife and daughter, as basically being the Partridge Family of Paranormal Investigations, because I look at your website and you got the
You got the motorhome, and a lot of you are family members, and it looks like you guys all load up, and you get in there, and you go out and investigate some great stuff. Is that fairly accurate?
Yes, that is kind of what it's like, yes.
I love it. I looked at my wife.
Yeah, my husband's part of the group, and so is my son.
Yeah, I looked at my wife and kids, and I'm just all, why are we not doing this? This is the greatest thing ever. So how do all of you get started doing this? You know, whose cockamamie idea was this that everybody decided to
well,
go along with?
Yeah, that would be me.
I was guessing.
Yeah, I've always been interested in the paranormal, you know, really my whole life. You know, then I got married, had kids. And my son actually has a twin sister. They are 19 now, so they are older.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister wants nothing to do with this.
Oh, really?
So
why is that?
We would kind of plan our vacations around, like, the Roswell UFO Festival or, you know, different, you know, paranormal places and stuff. And then kind of once the ghost shows started, you know, appearing on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of discovered, oh, we could actually do this. And I just decided one day, you know, that I'm going to start my own group. And that's how we started with me, my husband, and my son.
Did you get a raised eyebrow from your husband at first?
He kind of goes along with whatever ideas I have. I know I have some crazy ideas at times. He just kind of goes along with it.
Right. Well, that's absolutely awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, my
awesome.
Son's always been interested in the paranormal as well, just growing up. I mean, I guess kind of growing up in the family that we are.
But your daughter's just had enough.
It kind of fits.
Your daughter's just had enough of it.
She just wants nothing to do with it. I think it scares her a little too much.
Oh, well, that's justifiable.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's totally justifiable. My youngest daughter, I could definitely see. Well, we were watching a horror movie maybe a month or two ago. And she's sitting there watching it, and then something scary happens, and she just goes, oh, no, and, you know, pulls up her pillow in front of her face and covers her face for, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
She was done. She wasn't interested.
That's my daughter.
Yeah.
She rarely watches horror movies.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so so what does this entail? You know, this is really, really just very cool. So how far are you guys going, and where are you guys coming from?
We are based out of the Chicago suburbs. So we're in Illinois. Because
the Roswell Festival, that's out here in California,
where
right?
It's interesting.
Roswell's, you know, way out here. Are you coming all the way out here?
We have. I've been to Roswell a few times,
New Mexico,
actually.
But yeah.
Yeah. We've done an investigation at the Pioneer Saloon in Nevada.
Hmm.
We've been out by Area 51 a few times.
So the Pioneer Saloon is new to me. What is the Pioneer Saloon?
It's a really super old saloon that's kind of out in the desert, just outside of Las Vegas. And it's supposed to be haunted. And you could actually rent the place out for the night and investigate. And that's what we did.
Awesome.
Is it actually haunted?
The only thing I can remember that really happened while we were there was the jukebox shut off by itself.
Hmm.
It was kind of like, and there's no way to shut it off that I know of without reaching all the way behind it and like pulling the plug out.
Right.
Well, so that was kind of weird.
That in itself is terrifying.
I don't remember a whole lot happening there.
So when you go do these things, do you tend to lean towards UFOs, lean towards ghosts, or do you just find an opportunity that you haven't done yet and kind of hit out that? Or do you have a favorite topic
that
you're chasing?
We investigate anything that's strange or unusual.
Right.
We do the hauntings, UFO sightings. Like I said, we've been out by Area 51. We do cryptids like Bigfoot.
Ooh.
Bigfoot, Dogman, East of Bray Road, those type of things. The farthest we've been is Mexico. We have gone to Mexico to kind of check out the Mayan pyramids, the ancient ruins there.
Oh, I would love to do that, absolutely. And I am so jealous of your lifestyle. How many times a year are you doing this?
Through the summer months, we usually do something about once a month.
Oh.
The weather does kind of factor in, although we just did a hunt for the Vista Bray Road just 2 weekends ago in the dead of winter,
yeah.
which was different.
So how'd that go?
So we are pretty active. We do quite a few investigations every year.
And so this hunt for the Beast of Bray Road, how did that go?
We were contacted by a local guy who actually would go out in the woods and look for himself. He lived in Wisconsin. That's where the Beast of Bray Road is kind of, you know, thought to live, in Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin. And so we went up there to meet with him and kind of interview him, and he told us, like, where does he go? Actually, I think winter would probably be one of the better times to search for the creature because there's less people. You're going to be able to see the tracks really good in the snow, or, you know, if the snow is melting, if it's mud. So there's a good medium for tracks. The leaves are off the trees, so you kind of got a good sight through the woods, too. So, you know, honestly, it probably was a good time. We just went out during the day for this one, and it was kind of bad timing because I guess there was a gun range nearby, and we could hear gunshots going off constantly. We even went into the ranger station to make sure, is it okay for us to be out in the woods? And they said it's contained, it was fine. But I think that the gunshots would scare off anything that, you know, might be in the area. So we didn't come across anything then.
Well, I'm sure as a fan, it's really nice to, you know, even though maybe your chances of a sighting are reduced, you know, it's really sort of fun to be in the area and make the connection to those
and
places
was.
That you
read about. We don't usually go hiking in the winter. So it was definitely different and a little treacherous, too. The trails were very icy.
Yeah, that's up in Wisconsin, right? You know, that's,
yes,
that's
Wisconsin.
Cold up there, so.
Yeah, Sean doesn't watch the news, but it's been very cold up there.
Yeah, right.
All right, so you know, before we get to the break, when we come back, I have two of these experiences that I really want to talk to you about, Stonehenge of Indiana and the Kentucky Goblin investigation, both of which are very new to me, so I'm excited to find out about those. But aside from those, you know, what's your favorite? What's your favorite thing that you've gone to investigate?
The favorite thing that I've done is our Area 51 investigation, which we actually went out there three different times before we finally made it to the top. You have to go climb a mountain, basically, to be able to actually see the base. There's only one place left that's on public property. It's called Peekaboo Peak. And the first time we went, it was like 100-something degrees out, and it was just so hot we couldn't make it. The next time we went was in April, and it was snowing by the time we got to the mountain. And come to find out, there was like feet of snow still on the mountain, so we never would have made it. So actually, I think it was, you know, a year or two ago, we went, it was about 2 years ago. We went, it was the perfect time. We went in June, and you have to rent, we flew out to Las Vegas. We rented a 4x4 vehicle because you need four-wheel drive. You have to drive out in the middle of the desert. It's like 20-something miles on these dirt roads, and the roads kind of deteriorate the closer you get to the mountain. We only had GPS coordinates. We really didn't know where we were going. So that's, you know, pretty dangerous in itself. You're out in the middle of nowhere, no cell signal. Once you get to the base of the mountain, then you have to climb up the mountain. And that was pretty hard because the side of the mountain is like this loose shale. And so that was pretty hard kind of climbing up. The mountain's like 7,000 feet in elevation, I think. You know, we're from Chicago, so the elevation was just, you know, kicking our butts. Too, we were so out of breath because we weren't used to it. But we did finally make it to the top of the mountain, and you could see in the valley below. The base is situated in a valley surrounded by mountains. You could see off in the distance, you know, it looked like a runway, some buildings down there. And kind of on the tops of different mountains, you could see these devices that you know that, like, they're listening to you. You know, I'm sure they knew we were there.
Right.
Probably figured we were harmless enough.
Right.
And this is an all-day event, too. It took us, like, the entire day, you know, just to get there and get back down. But that's definitely my favorite adventure that we've done.
That is something I have definitely wanted to do, and I feel I'm close enough to be able to pull it off within some reason. I just don't know if my wife is really willing to scale the shale to get up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell everybody we should have brought ropes.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier. Like my son, you know, he's young. He just climbed right up the side of the mountain.
Right.
Like he could have climbed up there with a rope and threw it down for the rest of us.
Yeah, mocked you on the way past, I'm sure. All right, well, we're coming up on break. You're listening to Cindy Voivoda. From Hunters of the Unknown. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs.
We do them.
Vehicle wraps.
We do them.
If it's a sign,
we do them.
Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Cindy Voivoda.
Voivoda.
Let me get this. Cindy Voivoda, and the founder of the Hunters of the Unknown. You know, in my notes here, we had two topics here that were really just totally new to me. What is the Stonehenge of Indiana?
Yes, that's a very interesting place. The Indiana Stonehenge is located in Brown County, Indiana, which is in the southern part of Indiana. I heard about it when me and my husband went down there, because Brown County is known for its fall colors, so the leaves are very beautiful in the fall time. We went down there, you know, just for like a weekend getaway, and this was many, many years ago. I noticed an article in a local newspaper that mentioned this, and I thought, oh, that is so interesting. You know, I want to find this place. And this was before iPhones, before you can Google anything. And it didn't really give real good instructions to it, just kind of said it was kind of near this trailhead. And so we kind of went out looking for it, didn't find it. And I thought, oh, you know, I want to go back there someday because I really want to find this place. And we finally did go back last year, which I did Google it and came up with some directions, but the place is not easy to find at all. It's pretty difficult. You know, it's kind of back in the woods. You know, you drive down these, you know, old gravel roads, you know, out into the woods. And the trail itself, it's off of the road, but it's got a tiny, tiny, tiny sign that even says it's a trail at all. So that was really, really hard to find. There's no place to park. We actually had to park kind of down the street in front of an abandoned house and just kind of walk the road for a little bit till we got to the trail. And you really had to be looking for it. You kind of had to know it was there to even find it. You take this trail through the woods, and the Stonehenge is on top of what they call Browning Mountain. Now, it is Indiana, so it's not actually a mountain. It's more like a big hill.
Right.
yeah, so we climb the hill, you know, through the woods. When you get to the top of the hill, that's where you find these huge limestone stones just kind of scattered in a circle on the top of the hill. And so the kind of the legend of the Stonehenge is, you know, if you were to upright those stones, it would look like a Stonehenge because it would kind of be in a circle. Some people think they could have been an ancient temple, Native American site, maybe for ceremonies, cabins foundation. Some people even say they're, you know, left there by aliens. I think kind of the most likely answer is that the stones were probably quarried, you know, by some early settlers and then just left there, you know, when they decided to move to another location. The stones are huge. You can tell that they're not natural because they do have, like, 90-degree angles on them.
Hmm. Yeah, and plus, why would settlers quarry stone and drag it to the top of a hill big
right.
enough for the Indianians to call
they're
it a mountain?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge. Yeah, right. I don't think it would be the best place, you know, to settle. And the stones are really huge. I mean, they don't look like they're a foundation, you know, of a cabin or anything like that. You know, it's really kind of a mystery of why the stones are even there.
So is there a preferred explanation in the area?
Is there what? Oh, a preferred explanation?
Yeah.
All the ones that I gave you are kind of the ones that we came up with.
I see.
But yeah, most people think that they were just left there by an early settlement.
Hmm.
Interesting. So no one really knows for certain.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's really a mystery.
Well, I know in certain parts of the United States over there, there's a lot of very kind of mysterious mounds that were created by the Native Americans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there are mounds, you know, in Indiana also.
So I guess it wouldn't be too shocking that that maybe this was, you know, one of their, I mean, it's on top of a mound. You know, it's funny, I used to live in Arizona, and I had some friends, roommates from Delaware, and they're just all, yeah, I can't believe all these mountains around here. And I would look around and be all, what mountains? There are no mountains here, you know. Coming from Northern California, you know, I'm looking at two volcanoes when I go outside. But so in your travels, have you found any, like, freaky evidence? Anything that, like, when you found it, you thought to yourself, wow, this really means something?
Hmm. Other than, I guess, some experiences I've had at, like, haunted places.
Experiences count
as
evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I can tell you about one experience that I had at a place called Thornhaven Manor, which is also in Indiana.
I gotta love that name.
It's a cool old house, is what it is. You know, a big house. It was a manor.
Very abode of a Victorian woman with a dead mother and tuberculosis kind of house.
Yeah, something,
you know,
very gothic.
It definitely is. Yes. my group was all sitting on the bottom, by the bottom of the staircase there in the house. It's a two-story house, and we, first of all, we actually heard with our own ears, we heard a woman's voice say help, which was pretty cool. And then we happened to have a flashlight setting on the staircase, and the flashlight turned on because we were sitting in the dark, like most ghost hunters do.
Right.
The flashlight turned on, and we saw with our own eyes like a mist form in front of us, and we're all freaking out and pointing at it like we're, like, what in the world is that? And we did have a camcorder on us. The camcorder did not pick up the mist, but it picked our expressions up, you know, of what was happening. So that was pretty profound that those two things kind of happened all at the same time. And then it makes you wonder, you know, why are we sitting in the dark? Because we could be missing stuff.
Right.
So I do think that you should have some kind of ambient light.
Right.
In the room, you know, just, you know, you're, you know, to see shadows or like a mist, like figure like that as well, because I think you are missing stuff sitting in the dirt.
Yeah, I've often thought that as well, that, you know, part of believing is seeing, and so, you know, doing it in the dark. My ex-girlfriend I used to live with had a bunch of reptiles, and they were blind to red light, and so at night they would have a red light on them, and it was always interesting to watch them hanging out in the dark, and I could see them, but they couldn't see me, and I could see what they did in the dark, you know. But your experience, you know, it's frustrating to not get that mist on camera, but it must have solidified all the more for you the reality of the situation when you guys all know you saw it, yet it didn't translate to camera.
Yeah, was it like pointing at it, but it's like it just isn't something the camera can pick up, or?
I think that was it. I think the camera could not pick it up.
That's freaky.
You know, I don't know what visible spectrum it was in. I mean, we were, you know, filming in night vision. And I don't think the camera could pick it up. But, yeah, all of us saw the same thing. So that was pretty profound.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if these things that cameras don't pick up, if we're perceiving them in some sort of other way, because, you know, our eyes work the same way as the camera. So how exactly are we perceiving these things that film just is not grabbing, you know?
That's right.
Right.
So there's got to be a lot of... So when you go on your adventures, I assume that there's a lot of haunted stops along the way, because it seems like... Statistically, there's a lot more hauntings than most everything else.
Oh, yeah.
There is. You kind of got to dig for the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a guest on a couple months back, and he had a website called Terra Obscura. And it was basically like a little travel site that basically you could type in any state that you're in, and it would give you all the sort of paranormal and just odd points of interest, including like the world's largest ball of twine and haunt and stuff like that. And I don't, I'm just so jealous of what you do.
I mean, we all have full-time jobs too. So this
well, I don't doubt
like
that. Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody's got to fund it. I assume that you're funding
right,
it yourself.
Right, exactly. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So, right, you need the money to pay for it, so we got to work, unfortunately.
Right. All right, well, we are coming up on our next commercial break. You are listening to Cindy Voivoda here on Radio Wasteland from Hunters of the Unknown. Come on back.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, March 16th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on 1460 AM KCNR.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Your home. It's where the sunrise starts your day, where you entertain the closest of friends, where the family gathers around the dinner table, and where your memories are made. Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is building those memories every day. They invite you to discover the residential community of River Point in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees, RV parking, energy efficiency, truly exceptional interior and exterior features, designer kitchens with granite countertops, and stylish master suites. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing with many floor plans to choose from. With prices starting at $299,800 for the home of your dreams. One of our featured homes, a brand new four-bed, two-bath home with a three-car garage and over 2,000 square feet of living space, was just completed at River Point Subdivision. Featuring granite countertops, a beautiful cozy fireplace, green technology, and a huge landscape backyard. Listed at under $361,000. Contact Debbie Morgan of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties for details.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Cindy Voivoda from Hunters of the Unknown. So the second one that was on my list, of your investigations that just the name blew me away. And Sean looked at me like I should know what this is, and I didn't. Kentucky Goblin Investigation. I'm loving it. What is this?
Yeah, so let me tell you the story of the Kentucky Goblins, which is one of the most well-documented UFO encounters. So
that must be why Sean's looking at me like I was crazy for not knowing. Sorry, go ahead.
So the original story, this happened in 1955 on the Sutton family farm, which is located in a small town in Kentucky called Kelly, which is near Hopkinsville. And there was quite a few people at the farm this night when one of the men decided to go outside and get a drink from the well. And he saw in the sky, he saw a round metallic metal object in the sky. And he went back in, you know, to tell everybody, you know, what he had seen. And everybody's like, yeah, right, you know, I don't think you saw anything. So they go outside to check it out, and then they see these small alien-like creatures, which they describe as about 3 to 4 feet tall. They have yellow, glowing, large eyes, talons for hands, these large pointed ears, and shiny gray skin. And it appears like they're floating. So like they're floating, and there's like 12 to 15 of them kind of surrounding them. So, you know, they kind of panic, think they're being attacked, and they get out their shotguns and start shooting at these creatures. And they would hit the creature, but it would sound like they're striking a tin can. So the bullets didn't do anything to them, didn't affect them at all. And this kind of went on for hours, it said, until the family decides, you know, this isn't getting us anywhere. We're getting in the car and going to get the sheriff. So by the time, you know, they go, when the sheriff comes, the creatures are gone. You know, there's no spaceship. But they did find, like, the bullet holes in the screen door, you know, and, it did appear there was kind of like a fight going on there.
Yeah.
There was a couple things that I found in the history that was interesting. I guess one of the neighbors saw an odd green light and just assumed it was like a pig that was loose, and they were looking for it. So, you know, there was a odd green light the neighbor seen that night. And I guess the Air Force came out the next day to kind of check the area. And then I did discover that there was this deathbed confession from a man who worked at Fort Campbell, which is nearby, who said that he had retrieved wreckage from a crashed UFO only 3 miles down the road the same night that all this occurred. So, you know, there's the thought that there's maybe an alien spaceship crashed, and then there's these creatures, and what happened to them. And then I came across another story, which if you go to the website weekandweird.com, you can see a story that happened in eastern Kentucky that sounded very similar to this one, you know, with the same creatures. There was a guy there that said that he was being attacked by them, and he said they were coming from an abandoned mine on his property. And there's actually photos on this website of these three-toed footprints that he said came from the creatures.
Interesting.
And so when you kind of connect the dots, he said they were coming from an abandoned mine. The people that wrote this article were Dana Newkirk and her husband, Greg, and they had asked the family, there was one living relative, Geraldine Sutton. She was a child at the time that all occurred, and they had asked her, you know, was there a cave on your property? And come to find out, there was. And kind of the thing that connected the two things was the Mammoth Cave System, which is the largest cave system in the world, and there's only 400 miles mapped of it. So you kind of come to the conclusion that possibly these aliens maybe went into the cave system, and that's kind of where they've been living all this time, only to come out and attack people once in a while, it seems. But last year there was the solar eclipse, and one of the most best places to see it was in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And so we decided we're going to go down there to see the solar eclipse. And then I came across a story about the Kentucky Goblins. Come to find out, they do a festival in Kelly every year called the Kelly Little Green Men Days, which happened to be the exact same time as the solar eclipse.
Perfect.
And so that kind of all coincided. And so we did go down there for that. I did want to find a place, you know, that we could actually investigate. Mm-hmm. Somebody contacted us who had a house down in that area, and she thought her house was haunted. She happened to have some caves in her backyard. And so that's kind of where the whole investigation came to play. We did investigate her house. We did investigate the caves in that area, in her yard. She did have quite a few caves, and in town as well. We didn't find any evidence of these Kentucky goblins, but it's definitely an interesting story.
Well, especially if it was, what, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and yeah. the Air Force came out, I'm sure it's been swept clean.
Right. The guy that in eastern Kentucky that also said that these creatures were attacking him, that's a little more recent. That was in 2012.
Oh,
really? Interesting.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit more recent.
Well, it seems like your little entourage to start getting some heavy spelunking under your belt.
Right. I can't say we're, you know, great cavers or anything.
Yeah, the safety of the caving would be the part that would terrify me the most, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially an unknown cave.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
don't know what you're going to find.
Right.
Or,
with
you,
well, just the mere fact that they've mapped 400 miles of it is absolutely terrifying, not to mention what they haven't.
Right. And there's quite a bit more that they haven't. Yeah. I'm actually going to Mammoth Cave this coming weekend, and I'm pretty anxious to look for a map of what they have mapped out of the cave system and kind of see where that coincides with these places.
Well, unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of the interview here, and I would like to make sure that you have a little bit of time to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, online.
Sure. Our website is www.huntersoftheunknown.com. All of these places that I've talked about, all our adventures, are all on our website. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hunters Unknown.
Yeah, and it looks like you guys are very, very active on Twitter and Facebook, and I think you can count Sean and I as being your next newest followers, because you guys sure have a lot.
Good. We are. We post something every day. Every day on all three of those.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Going through your stuff has been just sort of really exciting to me, and it kind of goes to show me that I could be doing a lot more with my free time.
Yes.
You know, yes,
anybody can do this if you set your mind to it.
Yeah, up here in Northern California, you know, there's a lot of old history and a lot of great things to check out. And, you know, I'm just not going and doing it. All right, well, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Cindy Voivoda of Hunters of the Unknown. Thanks for checking us out. Come on back.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. The Secret Service says a man shot himself outside the White House and medical personnel are on the scene. President Trump was not at the White House. He's in Florida, but is set to return later this afternoon. The agency says in a Twitter post there are no other reported injuries related to the incident. An 11-year-old boy in New York State is the fifth person reported killed by a downed tree in a fierce winter storm.